Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Roarcast podcast. How's everyone doing tonight?
Hello. It's amazing. I literally just woke up a couple of minutes ago. So.
Oh, that must be nice. I've been up since 5:45 in the morning.
Going to the gym.
Yeah, it sucked. I am so annoyed by those who, like, pretend working out is, like, the most aesthetically pleasing thing to ever exist.
Why? Like,
how? They make it look so effortless. They're like Pinterest models, and I'm there in a crappy leggings with some holes in it and a crappy t-shirt trying not to die.
You got it.
No, I feel like crap.
You love going anyway, though.
Yeah, because apparently it's good for my health, but look, it's just hard, okay?
I understand. I don't go to the gym, so.
I know. I texted you last night and said, hey, if you go to bed now, you could work out with me, but you refused to.
Yeah, I slept at like 4 a.m., so here we are.
I didn't sleep last night. Do you want to know why I didn't sleep last night?
Yes.
I was rewatching the originals.
I've never watched that show.
It's basically the vampires, but like the Vampire Diaries, but the original vampires.
Okay.
It's very, there's many hot men. There's many hot men in that show.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
And HBO. I'll check it out anyway.
Wow.
Oh, and the documentaries. There's so many good documentaries.
Why are you obsessed with these documentaries?
They're so good. I swear, they're so good.
You know, how about this? I will watch a documentary that you suggest if you watch one of the shows I suggest and you go to the gym with me.
No. Not anyway.
Wow. Well, you know who I know loves to go to the gym? Huh. Well, at least is required to. We have Maya, number 11, from the softball team. She plays an outfield position. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Maya, and I'm a sophomore here. Yeah, I do. I play outfield, and I love it. I love it here.
What's your major and hometown?
Yeah, so I'm from St. Louis, and my major is recreational therapy with a minor in African American studies and coaching.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. It's exactly what I want to do, honestly, when I grow up, so... Yeah.
Are you hoping to be, like, a college coach?
Yeah, that's the goal. Right now, I'm thinking more so, like, high school. But, yeah, that's the ultimate goal. Probably, like, an SEC head coach would be great. That's a huge goal of
mine. That sounds fancy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, like, one of the biggest, like, Division I conferences. Mm. So.
Okay.
Yeah, the ones you see on TV, those are the ones.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Are you on the, like, I know we changed to the one at Lindenwood, so, like, are you part of that conference now, or?
No, we're not a part of the SEC conference. Okay. We're a part of the OVC conference, which is Ohio Valley Conference, and it's just, like, a smaller, I guess you can say, for lack of a better word, conference. But, yeah, there's, like, a few different D1 conferences, and we're just one of them.
Okay.
So how did that affect, like, going from D2 to D1?
Honestly, it didn't really make much of a difference except for, like, enhance, like, the competition that we go through. But, I mean, our practices are the same. We work hard just as much as we did last year. Our dynamic is the same no matter what. Like, nothing really changed as far as the team goes. Just our competition. Yeah, that's pretty much it. which is great, though. Like, honestly, Coach Brown, our head coach, and our assistants coach, coaches, Coach Brims and Coach Reisinger, they're great. They're honestly great. They teach us so much throughout the season to prepare us for whatever competition that we're going through, whether that's in the fall when we play practice games or against our actual competition in the spring. So it's really nice.
Has your like mindset changed like individually for you?
Me personally, a little bit. Okay. Obviously, you know, I have to be a little bit more on my A game since we are D1, but I feel like my mindset is about the same regardless. Once game time happens, it's like no matter who we play, we're going to, like, give it 100. So we have a saying that's, like, called go green. So we always say, like, go green as in, like, go all out. No matter who we play, no matter where we play, when we play, it doesn't matter. Just go at 100% for sure.
That's cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to your guys' practices, like, what does that look like?
So it really just depends. Coach Brown is really big on academics first. So she does what she can to, like, make practices easier for us as far as, like, school goes, because sometimes some of our teammates, like, have labs and stuff that are, you know, a little problematic with the time schedules for practices. But yeah, no, our practices, we practice every day pretty much except for Sundays and Mondays, but that kind of differs. Just like this past week for homecoming, we got Saturday off, which was great.
Nice.
Yeah, we got, because she wants us to experience like college fully, you know. She doesn't want to make softball like, you know, very heavy, you know, so, which is great. We love that about her. But it's usually like six-ish days out of the week. We have weights on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 a.m., as well as Fridays at 1. It's like about, it ranges from like an hour practice to like 2.5-ish hours, but it's all fun. It's always fun.
That's nice. And you also get to do it with your friends.
Yeah, I made some really, really close friends on my team. That's one of the main things that I was, like, worried about when I came in my freshman year. I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to make a lot of friends, but I was able to make friends really quickly because these girls are amazing.
Gotcha.
Well, regarding the sport and being in the conference and everything, have you, like, experienced or, like, how is sexism within softball, like, since some people think that it's, like, an easier sport than, like, between softball and baseball? And
yeah, all throughout my life, I've had people come to me and be like, softball is so easy and baseball is so much harder, when in reality, you can't really compare the two, because there, although the two sports are, like, very similar, there are still, like, differences in it. So, like, distance from home to first and the base differences and the home to, like, the mound and all that stuff and the distances and stuff like that. So a lot of people are like, oh, it's a bigger ball, so it's so much easier. Like, no, you try swinging at Amanda Way's rise ball. Like, it's crazy, you know? Like, it's insane. Like, but we kind of just ignore it. Like, it's just arrogant and, like, really ignorant people that don't really want to know the differences and don't really, you know, it's just, oh, it's a women's sport, so it's so much easier. Like, they do the same with basketball, too. Like, it's, mm-hmm. it's so different. And, like, you can't really compare. I feel like they're both difficult in their own way, and they're both easy in their own way. So, I mean, I just tend to ignore it.
That's what we have to do, right? I know, like, in other sports, it's the same thing. Like, when I was playing a sport, it was kind of like people would go to the guys' games and not the women's mm-hmm. Games for basketball, because they would say, like, oh, like, the woman's, it's not like as hard,
right,
than the men. So,
which is crazy, because like sometimes when I go to like certain events, I'd much rather go to a women's mm-hmm. sport event than a man's. So like, for example, basketball, women are so much more like aggressive.
Badass.
Right. Yeah. Right. They are so like into it, which is so great. Like, it's awesome. So I love that. I love how powerful women can be in their own type yeah. of way. It's awesome. So yeah, sometimes I prefer that rather than, you know, like, oh, men's sports kind of get broadcasted a little bit more anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the NBA and the WNBA, you don't see much about the WNBA, but like at the same time, like, they're just as competitive, you know? They deserve to be broadcasted just as much as, you know, men's sports. So, yeah, I just tend to ignore it. It is what it is. Like, a lot of people, they won't change their, you know, perspective from it. So, it's whatever.
Well, I also feel like it's a society thing. Like, even the reason why so many people don't pay attention to women's sports is because no one thinks, oh, this will be interesting. But then that also affects sponsorships, which mm-hmm. also affects presence in our media, mm-hmm. in our advertising. Like, mm-hmm. just the fact that we have this stigma that women's events are less interesting.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like that was kind of like what I was noticing here. But then once, like, after the season this past year, whenever we made it to regionals, and that was the first time in Lindenwood history that softball went to regionals,
that's amazing.
Everybody was like, whoa, like, they can actually play. So we started getting more people, and I'm like, this is who we were from the beginning, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we've always had this heart and this fight for us. So I'm glad that people are starting to recognize, you know, how hard we go for this sport. And so, yeah, I'm expecting really big crowds this like upcoming spring. So
yeah, well, I have a group that I'm president of called LU Girl Power.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Our group is dedicated mm-hmm. to like uplifting and promoting those athletic events and social events that are on campus that are often unseen or unrecognized.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really great. Man, I would love to be a part of that, honestly.
Do you want to join the
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I'll send you the link.
Thanks.
Yeah, and, like, how do you think, like, we as a community could help you guys, like, support you guys, besides just, like, going to the games and stuff like that?
Yeah, kind of like, so we have a Instagram, it's called Lindenwood Softball. Mm-hmm. I think if you guys like follow it and kind of like repost our stuff, we make TikToks, we do like super fun events, we show like all of our practices kind of like on our story, you know, little intake, and kind of like you can see behind the scenes mm-hmm. of our games and stuff like that. So I think just kind of like reposting us, maybe like using our famous tags in the arena. And little things like that, you know, just kind of like get our name out there mm-hmm. because we're doing what we can, you know, like we can only do so much. But if people besides, you know, softball team, like the softball team and, you know, the coaches and stuff like that, people outside of that, if they repost and they mention it and they talk about it, we'll get a lot more recognition, mm-hmm. you know, and we'll start to get a lot more crowds and, you know, a lot more people will want to come here, you know, because our games are super, super energetic. We're always exciting. We're always loud, you know, and we definitely make like the campus shake. So I think it would be a very big like opportunity for us if people can just, you know, show some love on social media, yeah. you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I just followed you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You
I appreciate
now have
it.
1,206.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, how did you get started in softball? Like, what made you say, softball?
So, I started playing softball like when I was 4 or 5. My mom played softball when she went to William Jewell, and she played softball there. So she's grown up on softball as well. So she kind of introduced me this like to the sport. And my dad both of my parents really pushed me to kind of like find the love in softball. And I used to play basketball a lot too when I was younger. So they both were like, just go for it. Like, you should do what you can with the sport. So yeah, ever since I was five, I fell in love with the sport. I loved it, absolutely, 100%. It was great. I met a lot of close people, like some of my dearest friends I met through my select teams and my rec teams that I played for. And I met some lifelong friends here at Lindenwood because of softball. So, yeah, I've always been in love with it. And that's pretty much it.
So how do you handle juggling everything? Because as we know, being a student is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Like, taking the classes is just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So how do you handle doing that as well as being on a team that travels and has practices every day?
Yeah, well, like I said, Coach Brown kind of puts academics first. So if there ever comes to a situation where it's like, hey, I cannot handle this right now, she will do everything in her power to like help you, you know? And that's what I love a lot about Lindenwood so much, because like, it's not just the coaches that are willing to help, it's the professors as well. Mm-hmm. Like, they are always down to help us, especially us athletes, because we have to leave classes early for practices, or we have to leave. We can't even show up sometimes on Thursdays or Fridays because we leave Thursday morning for an away conference or whatever, away conference game or an away tournament. So I love that the professors are super on board with, you know, athletics. And our coaches are super understanding no matter what. So it's easy to juggle it. Now, I'm not going to say that it's always easy. There are times where it gets a little overwhelming, absolutely. But that's where you are able to reach out, to mm-hmm. your professors, to your coaches, to anybody that you need help, getting through the day. And they're always there for you. It's great. So honestly, yeah, it is difficult to juggle sometimes, but you always get through it in the end, and you have people. You're never alone when it comes to softball. So, yeah. So they're gonna help you no matter what, which is awesome.
I feel that neither of us play a sport, so we kind of didn't know what it looked like being a student athlete. When we started meeting with people from different teams, I kind of realized how hard it is, and how many things you guys have to go through when it comes to academics and the sport, and then having also a social life and all things related to that. So who is Maya outside of softball? What do you like to do? What is your passions outside of the sport and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, I'd say for one thing, it definitely, you have to be a different breed in order mm-hmm. to be a student athlete. You have to have a stronger mindset, a different mindset than, everyone else, because you have to juggle so much, not saying that we're better than anybody else, but I'm also saying we just have a different mindset, mm-hmm. But yeah, outside Maya, outside of softball, I love to read. I'm a really big reader, which a lot of people don't see me as that mm-hmm. person. I'm also really big on African American culture. That's one of my biggest, I'm really passionate about it. I love to hang out with friends as much as possible. My schedule is really busy a lot, so it's sometimes difficult to be able to do that. Social life is definitely a difficulty sometimes with athletic, student athletes, but we get by, and I have a really good group of friends that I have, and they're super understanding. A lot of them are actually athletes themselves, mm-hmm. so they know. I love to read. I love helping out my family, as much as possible. My dad coaches here.
Okay.
Yeah, so I love to go to his office every day and, say hi to him, And then I have an older brother who goes here as well, Jalen. He's great, I go see him all the time whenever I can, So, yeah, just I love talking. I love talking to people, meeting new people. So that's kind of what my biggest goal is, and what I like to do the most. So.
And what kind of things do you like to read?
Man, I guess it really just depends. Okay. I'm also big on, like, true crime as well. I love watching documentaries as well, so I'm with you.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Her documentaries are very different. It's like self-improvement.
No, like, I've been watching so many stuff about, like, social, like social movements and I just watched one that is called Jane and it was about like the feminist movement.
Oh, okay.
And then another one that was about the war in Afghanistan and like how like the army had to like deal with it.
How
people had to like go through stuff.
Absolutely.
So I love that
sick.
Kind of thing.
That's great. Like, yeah, that's super awesome.
You both should watch a movie called On the Basis of Sex.
It's the best movie ever.
It is the best movie. It is about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and like how she started.
I love her.
And as I continued to like watch the movie, I was like, dang, she's greater than I thought.
Right.
She's so cool. She did her husband's law school homework for him.
Oh, wow.
While he was like dying. And she didn't even get any credit for it.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. And according to TikTok law, like law TikTok, there's a lot of work for law school.
Mm. The movie's called On the Basis of Sex. Mm. It's
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when it comes to like African American culture, what kind of things are you like interested on?
So I'm really big on kind of seeing how African American culture has developed in, you know, the United States and stuff like that. So I'm dating back all the way back to like 1619 when the first, you know, slaves came to America. And I know it's like a touchy subject when it comes to stuff like that, so I won't go into depth about it. But yeah, I'm really big on stuff like that and like the civil rights movement. I love learning about it. I mean, I love learning about like our struggles, you know, African American struggles and how they can adapt and how they have learned to overcome those obstacles that come into their life and how they are today and how they are improving each and every day. So I think it's really big on that. And I think not enough people know about it. And that's not necessarily their fault. I think it's the education system like lacking to really touch base on stuff like that. Like, I feel like they only say something when it comes to like Black history or something like that, and that's not the only time you should mention it, you know. That's not the only time you should say something about African American culture and the obstacles that they have to go through and you know where they are today and how they are doing compared to however many years ago you want to date back, you know. So I feel like they definitely have grown, and I love that. I love African American culture. That's really big on me because, like, I'm also, like, you know, I'm of mixed race, so being able to learn both parts of my race, you know, being able to, like, know the struggles of each race and how we overcome that is just amazing, and it, you know, inspires me to do better for everything.
Yeah. I'm part of, like, the student government, and we've, like, trying to get more like culture and educational events so like we can chat later about what we can do.
For
but
sure.
I would love to chat with you
for sure.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm down.
This is kind of going off that. So I am taking a history of theater class, and this is basically from like 1700 to like 1200 BC. And the interesting thing is, no one knows where theater, like, originated from. And what's really crappy is basically theater is just stealing of other people's things. So we have nothing. We have barely anything from Egyptian theater. We knew it existed.
Right.
We have no idea what it looks like.
Yeah.
And we have no idea even the slightest of how that came about. And that's true for South America, North America, like BC North America.
Yeah.
And so it's this constant, like, for like the first 8 weeks, I'd be like, oh, I have a question about that. And he'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
right.
Because every time a new, like, country or group, like, took over, they kind of ruined it.
Yeah.
And I was like, rude.
Yeah.
Now we, I really wanted a time machine in that class.
Yeah,
and I still do, because I'm like, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Like, there is a thing in Roman theater called a nocumana, where they have an arena, they fill it with water, and then they put ships in it, and then they kill people.
Oh.
It's like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Interesting.
But with poor people, slaves, and I don't know, whoever they thought deserved it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I thought we should present it to Disney to do Pirates of the Caribbean, but like not actually kill people.
Right, yeah.
Because that would be, you know, unethical and rude.
A little bit.
But like something interesting you said is about like how cultures sometimes are erased. Like South American like history, we don't know that much about like the empires we had and like the culture those empires had.
I'm obsessed with Aztec.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, we have, like, amazing, like, so, like, civilizations that they thought were, like, not real civilizations, you know, when, like, colonialism happened. And I know it's, like, a touchy subject, but, like, I don't know, like, the same with, like, African-American history and how, like, the education doesn't actually, like, tell the stories that need to be told.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, some politicians are, like, trying to, like, erase certain parts of history. And I don't know, like something that is happening right now is like how some politicians are saying like, oh, we don't want to teach like U.S. history of like we created this society on like stolen land. Like that's not what we want to tell as part of our story, but that is part of the history.
Exactly.
That's part of like the heritage of people and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And like I hate hearing like in history classes how there's such a gap between times and stuff, and they're like, okay, just here's are the important events, when like all the events that that happened are important, you know. And I feel like you can't teach history without African American history, you know. Like you can't teach U.S. history without, you know, the black side of history, because that's kind of like what it all, like, you know, like that's how it all started, kind of thing, you know. So, yeah, it leaves so many questions for kids, like, growing up. They're like, okay, well, what about, you know, what about this history? Like, okay, you're just teaching us about slavery, but you're not going into depth. Like, you need to go into depth, you know? And we have the research to go into depth, you know? And there's obviously so much more research that we can go into, but as of right now, we have a fair amount, you know? And it's kind of sucks. I mean, I'm grateful for it, but it's kind of sucks that African-American history classes are just now happening. Mm-hmm. They should have happened, like, yeah, 50, 60 years ago, you know? They should have happened way before. And I'm grateful that it's happening now because, you know, we're making improvements. But, yeah, no, we should have had this a long time ago. And, yeah, there's a lot of, like, going back on what you said about, like, oh, there's a lot of history that's erased or being erased. Yeah, there are certain, like, articles that slaves wrote, like, not necessarily articles, but, like, journal entries and stuff that they wrote, and it's disintegrated or it's, you know, burned or, you know, hidden from history because they don't want America to be portrayed as this terrible country at the time, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's insane. It's insane. That's why I'm having it as my minor, because I'm like, I want to know so much more about this, you know. I'm already passionate to begin with. I've been passionate about it since sixth grade, so I'm like, let me know. Tell me everything.
I want to know everything.
Right. Yes.
See, that's why I think it's so interesting and why I love history. Mm-hmm. It's because it gives us, like, proof that we continuously make the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's like, when are we going to accept that we cannot keep doing the same thing over again?
Yeah.
Like, it's not working.
It's psychotic. I mean, psychotic, you know, being a psychopath is like doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Like, we're doing the same thing, expecting it to be better. No, that's not the case. That's not what's going to happen. So, I don't know, once we get out of, like, our psychotic ways, then maybe, you know, we'll we'll be able to adjust.
There's a quote that says, history repeats itself.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Wow.
Well, we started with softball, and then we ended up right. in history.
Now we're in this super touchy subject.
Who wants to talk about right. Costco?
Right. I love Costco. Oh,
yeah.
Same. I should get paid by Costco for how much I talk about it.
Loki, I saw some like Costco TikToks that I want to go buy some clothes there because they have such a good clothes there. Like,
you know what's
the
crazy?
Jackets, like winter jackets.
Yeah. Dang. I've never been to Costco.
You're coming. I would bring anyone to Costco because, one, their CEO makes billions of dollars, but they treat their employees so well. Like, literally, employees will stay for 20, 30 years, increasing in, like, you know, status. Mm-hmm. But they stay because of how well the work conditions are at Costco. Mm. And, fun fact, there was a map, like, 2 years ago. I don't know where I found it, but it exists. And it was, like, the best places to work in each state. And Costco was on at least, like, four.
Oh, wow.
Lincoln Public Schools, which is my public school district, was the best in Nebraska.
Look at that, huh?
Dude, I love LPS. It was very helpful when I had mental issues, and it was like, you know what? We'll just put a person next to you and make sure you're learning. But then they would take me out of science class to teach me social skills. And that's where my hatred of science stemmed from.
Mm.
Yeah. I hate science.
Me too. I'm not a big science girl.
I love science.
I love math. Math, real math, like accounting. Phenomenal.
Really?
I hate science.
Just give him a microphone.
I needed to emphasize it, and I forgot I had a pen in my hand.
I came to Lindenwood. Like, my declared major was biology. Yeah, that works so well that I'm doing mass communication and international relations.
She went STEM.
Right. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I love science, but
I love science,
you know,
but I cannot learn it that way.
It's like, not that much.
That's too much for me.
It's okay.
Yeah,
you know, it do be like that.
It is.
Yeah. Did you ever change your major?
Oh, yeah. My freshman year, like my first semester, I was exercise science. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to Heather Pennington, who's like kind of like the, I wouldn't necessarily say the head, I don't really know, but she plays a big role in recreational therapy. Mm-hmm. So she, I had one of her classes my freshman year, and I was like, look, I suck at science, and exercise science is, you know, really big in science, hence the name science and exercise science. So I was like, how can I avoid that but still do the same stuff? And she was like, oh, rec therapy is like a great, you know, outlet you can go to. And I was like, great, do you have a major for it? She was like, absolutely. And I was like, sign me up, I'm going to that major. So right, so yeah, I love it. I love rec therapy, it's great.
Yeah, you know, I feel like we need to accept that at 18 years old we're allowed to change our minds.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Even at 21.
Yes.
Even at 25.
Even whenever you want.
At six, have either of you watched Grey's Anatomy?
Yes.
See, I've watched like maybe one or two episodes.
I've watched eight seasons.
Okay. So during one of those seasons, there's an old man. He was Richard from Gilmore Girls.
Mm.
If you watched that show.
Yes.
Okay, so he was an intern. Mm. He was like 70. And he was like, you know what?
I remember that.
I don't want to be a banker. I want to be a doctor.
Mm,
and so then all of a sudden he was like, okay, doctor. And then halfway through, like, two or three episodes, he has a heart attack.
He died.
Oh, no.
He didn't die because he was at a hospital. Mm. And his theory was his when his wife died,
that made him want to be a doctor. Mm. So it was like her being like, hey, your health isn't good. Let's push you towards a doctorate. And then when you have this heart attack, you'll be safe.
Right. That's a good idea.
Well, he was grieving, so he could have made it up in his head. Mm. Granted, it is a TV show, right, so yeah. It's not that deep.
Right. Interesting. Yeah.
Look, I love analyzing characters on shows. I am watching the originals, and there are some messed up people on that, and yeah. I'm like,
I've seen a
daddy
few
issues.
Episodes. I've seen a few episodes of the originals, and it's a pretty good show.
Yeah. Mommy issues.
Yeah.
Super bad mommy issues.
Yeah.
For sure. So.
What? My favorite quote. Daddy issues make people pleasers. Mommy issues make psychopaths. This isn't real, to clarify.
Right.
This is a joke.
Right.
This is not proven.
Right.
I just find it funny.
Clarifying, it's not science.
No science. Right. Clarification. You know what? That's the title of this. Clarification.
Yeah.
Literally.
So, okay. Maya, do you have any advice to students who are like, I like softball. I like college. Put them together and you make a student athlete. Any advice for those types of people?
Go for it, honestly. Like, life is too short for you to keep thinking, what if, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you're passionate about softball or any sport, regardless, and you really want to go to college for it, go for it. Do what you can to get there, you know? Also, don't give up too soon, because I didn't commit to Lindenwood until my senior year of high school. So if I would have given up before Lindenwood even reached out to me, I would have never been here, you know, and I would have never met such great people on my team. So, those are the two biggest pieces of advice I would get. Yeah, go for it 100%. Like, if you're going to commit to something, commit to it all the way so you don't regret anything. And then don't give up too soon. Like, it'll happen. Something good will happen. You know, it always happens for a reason. So, yeah.
I love that.
You're just such a good, like, talker. That's yeah. That's bad English on my part. I
no,
apologize.
It's fine. I get it. Yeah.
But
no.
I'm like, I could listen to you.
Thanks.
We should talk about you doing a podcast. I've already convinced the soccer players to do a podcast. You should do a podcast.
Yeah, honestly, I've been thinking about that for a while. I was like, I have so much to talk about, and I could really,
well, if you could, you could talk about your African-American studies.
Yeah, honestly, that's, like, one of the biggest things that I wanted to talk about because, like, so many people don't know about it. So I'm like, I know a lot. Not, like, a lot, but, you know, enough to where I can be like, look, this is what's happening. And this is what we could do to fix it, you know, so.
And I feel like doing, like, a podcast or just, like, having a platform that you can speak up about, like, certain issues also helps you learn more about those issues. And I'm kind of, like, explore those stuff more, so.
Yeah.
There's a class. Alexi's in that class.
I'm dropping it, but thank you.
Wait, does that mean you're taking less than 24 credits?
Yes. Maybe. Maybe. Oh, we don't know yet.
For their first semester ever, I'll be beating you.
That's hilarious.
Success.
But yeah. So.
It's okay. She has a bigger GPA than I do. I have a 3.51.
That's still pretty good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Look, I went to a high school in which I had a 3.5, and I was at the lower half of my school.
Tell me
really?
What.
Really?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
No, I had a lot, like, multiple people from my school went to Ivy Leagues.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, like, a 3.6, and I was also, like, on the lower part of my class.
That's insane. I was, like, a 3.5-ish? And I was, like, one of the highest.
One of the highest.
No, Lincoln East is crazy. Like,
interesting.
There was, like, multiple people who got, like,
32s or whatever the highest is on ACTs.
A 36 or something like that. That's See, crazy.
I'm so bad at the ACTs that I don't even know the highest score.
Honestly, like, I don't think anybody should shoot for the highest score. Like, it's just so overwhelming.
Like, well, now a lot of colleges aren't basing, like, decisions like oh, you're accepted or not based on those, but sadly financial aid has not caught up to that.
And honestly, that's one thing that I am like happy that the pandemic happened, because 2021, like, that was my year that I graduate, so they were like, oh, anybody in 2021, ACT does not matter at all, like, for this year. So, and then after that, they were like, why does the ACT even really matter, honestly? So finally, you know, like, that's the only thing that I'm glad the pandemic happened for, because
last time we were talking about tests, we always say, like, like, standardized tests are built for people that can take tests and that have the resources to study and prepare to take standardized tests.
And honestly, for the ACT, there's, like, you can't really study for that. Like, you just have to, it's just based off of knowledge. And it's like, okay, some people take the ACT and the SAT so early in their life, they don't know half of the information that's on there. Like, even now, if I had to take the ACT right now, literally, I'd probably get, like, a 10. Because, like, what? None of this makes sense.
So, to give you an idea, I was obsessed with trying to increase my score. Because I took the pre-ACT, because at my high school, you had to.
Yeah,
same. And I got a 15.
Mm.
It was a sad day. So then I was like freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get into college. I'm going to be homeless.
Yeah.
Somehow my brain always leads me to homelessness. Does that make sense? No. But my brain immediately associates failure to homelessness.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I'm weird. Anywho. So for Christmas, I asked my dad for an ACT prep book.
Oh, yikes. And not then for Christmas.
For my birthday, I asked for an SAT prep book.
Oh, no.
So for two big events, I was like, no, no, no. I don't need money. I don't need makeup. I don't need technology. No, I need an educational book to make sure I do good on a test. I also took a class.
Oh.
Do you want to know what my ACT score was? A 21.
Ditto. Mine was a 21,
and
too.
That's how you know Lauren reaches her goals all the time. She works hard.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big jump, going from 15 to 21. That's pretty good.
When you have your classmates multiple going to 36 and, like, the average is a 28 or 29, it hurts your ego.
Yeah, it definitely does. But, I took the ACT, like, I took it maybe 3 times, and I was like, look, this is my 3rd time. I don't care what I get. I'm done. I'm tired. I don't want to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning to do a 4-hour test. I'm good. Thanks, though.
So I'm from Bolivia, so it's not, like, as common to take SATs because it's only for, like, U.S. colleges. Mm. But I think I took it once or twice. But I don't even remember my score because then Lindenwood doesn't require it. So I was like, I don't even need to know my score. Like, I don't even want to know how smart I am. I was no way.
Like, what?
I was so mad at my mother. Do you know what she got? So she took it her sophomore year of high school. She got a 28.
Wow.
I was so mad. Yeah. I was like, you couldn't have transferred your intelligence into me.
That's my mom, too.
And I was like, you know what? We'll blame it on the autism. We'll just... messed with the DNA.
I always blame my parents when something is wrong. I'm like, is it DNA? It's not me.
Yeah, it's something with genetics.
It's a gene.
Yeah.
I just blame autism. Like, you know what? It's that's fault.
It's that's fault. 100%.
I feel like we should name it Alex.
Yeah, there it is. That's the one.
It's Alex's fault?
Yes.
Not me.
He's kind of annoying. He's been with me for 20 years.
But it's okay. We've learned to love him and accept him, even though he'll never get me a 38 on that ACT.
You never know.
No, I'm never taking that. But I was for a very long time considering being a lawyer. I still think I'd be a great lawyer.
I agree.
I know. I'm very argumentative.
You can charm the people there. Mm-hmm. Be like, hello.
With my pink jumpsuit being Elle Woods.
Yes.
Plus size, Elle Woods.
Yes.
Amen. Wait, brunette, plus size, Elle Woods.
Yeah.
With my heels, of course.
Yes.
I think you would agree.
Yeah.
You should apply to law school.
I can't test well.
I mean, you cannot. Well. Can you apply to law school if you haven't, like, taken pre-law?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah. There's no rule that you... Technically, pre-law is supposed to make sure you like law and prepare you for the LSATs. And then law school is then supposed to prepare you for the bar exam and make sure you know the information.
Okay. Yeah. Because I thought, like, do you have to do pre-med to go to med school?
No, you can be, like, a biology major. Oh. Or a...
Can you be, like, an IR major and then, like, international relations major and then go to med school?
You don't want to go to med school.
Just asking.
You don't
I can change
go
my
to
mind,
school.
Okay?
No.
Right, if you change your major from biology, I don't know if you want to be a med...
Yeah, no.
I'm Guys, gonna, you never know.
I'll call your mom. I'm like, hello, Alexi has lost her mind.
Just let me change my mind.
Right.
But yeah, anything else for like softball related? Anything you want to share for the people listening?
Support us, you know? Come out to our games. They're fun. We have, like, super crazy themes and stuff. So we do our own little theme, like softball, you know, as the team does their own little theme and stuff like that. So, you know, if we get a big enough crowd, we can probably show, you know, tell you guys our theme, you know, and then you can join us and we'll be all one big, you know, family. So
what kind of themes do you
have? So it really just depends. Coach Brims is like the main man when it comes to stuff like that. So she does all of that stuff. She does all the TikToks and things like that in the media and stuff like that. So she's great. But yeah, there's like crazy themes. So like we had going back to our Go Green, you know, saying we had like just a game day where we just bought anything green, like anything that looked green. You know, we had pool noodles, we had top hats, we had like pom poms, you know, we had all this stuff. And then we have like green like stickers, green like circular stickers. And we would put it on our helmets, we put it on our visors, we put it on, you know, catchers would have it on their catcher's helmet, you know, so face masks, you know, anything, gloves, anything. A lot of people put it on their shoelaces, you know, so like cool. We were decked out in green. So that's our theme. That our was theme so was fun. Go green, you know, so every time like something crazy would happen, we'd be shaking like our pool noodles and our pom poms and stuff like that. So it if we can add that to the audience too, that'd be awesome. Yeah. A lot of green.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so just come support us.
Well, I'm going.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We have like our first home game. I don't really remember off the top of my head, but yeah, just go to the Lyndon Woods, you know, softball schedule, and it's up now for the spring, so you guys should be able to look into that. We do have like 2 or 3 away tournaments first, and then we'll have our, you know, conference games later on in the spring. So yeah.
And you also have a pearl. I just look into their Instagram and you have like shirts and things that you can buy to support you
yeah
guys.
yeah we have a store that's out right now. Actually, it's up and moving, so yeah, if you guys want to look into that, buy our little, you know, merch, our little softball merch, you know, and come support us. We got, like, beanies. We have, like, regular hats. We got hoodies, joggers, all types of stuff. So, yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, Maya, I super appreciate you coming to the podcast
today.
I've really enjoyed getting to know you.
Thank you.
And everyone who's listening. Stay roaring!